shows that both municipal, state, and also federal police actively participated in the attacks against the students, not only monitoring, but once they were in Iguala, both state and federal, as well as municipal police, participated in the attacks against the students. The report also found that military intelligence officers were present at least two of the attack scenes. The report concludes that a confusion of the students with a supposed drug gang is an unlikely, if not absurd, scenario because of the massive scale, the complexity, the coordinated nature, and the escalating violence, disproportionate use of violence, all employed in the attacks against the students. Again, that we have municipal, state, and federal police actively participating in the attacks at nine different locations over more than 3 hours inside the city of Iguala, with the army watching all the time. The report also found that the federal government had systematically destroyed key evidence, two pieces that are very important. One, the video footage from federal security cameras that completely recorded one of the scenes of the attacks from which students were disappeared from a bus. That video was recovered and then destroyed by someone inside the government. Two, one of the buses, the key buses involved in the attack, what the experts are calling the fifth bus, was disappeared itself. That bus has not been located. When the experts asked to view that bus, they were presented with a different bus that had been made up to look like it. One of their
John, we have 10 seconds. How has the family responded, and will the Mexican government open a new investigation?
They will open a new investigation. The family has fully embraced the report and also denounced the government for torturing them. They said that this theory of the trash dump has been torture for us, and they are fully supporting the report.
John Gibler, I want to thank you for being with us. We'll continue to follow this story of the 43 missing students in Guatemala. That does it for the show in Mexico. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Nermeen Sheikh, Sam Malkoff, Ravi Karan, Steve Martinez, Hani Masood. I'm Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:02. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with our hosts Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. Today's topic is the negotiations over the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Cable Community Radio is proud to present Arresting Power, Resisting Police Violence in Portland, Oregon, as part of the Cable at the Clinton monthly film series. Arresting Power documents the history of conflict between the Portland police and community members throughout the past 50 years and creates a space for understanding the impacts of police violence and imagining a world without police. Again, that's Arresting Power, Thursday, September 10th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hey, you! We got your war! We're at the gates! We're at your door!
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Oregon Black History Heroes and Legends, a three-day event from September 11th through 13th. The keynote speaker for this 20th anniversary celebration will be Mr. Les Pee Wee Harrison. And other speakers include Imani Muhammad, Mike Crenshaw, Jamo Greenidge, and more. That's Oregon Black History Heroes and Legends, September 11th through 13th, at venues across Portland. Location, speakers, and more information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Tom Dwyer Automotive Services, a full-service automotive shop located next to Portland's Selwood Bridge for over 30 years. They're a Blue Seal certified shop committed to client care and community support. Information on their eco certification, client carbon neutral program, courtesy shuttle, rentals, and more at tomdwyer.com or by calling 503-230-2300.
Well, oh my goodness. Okay, that was an ironic bit of music. We're going to be talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is not dead, but sleeping.
I think you may have gotten the definition of irony wrong, but I don't want to take up more time.
No, that's so not. Let's not have it.
It's not ironic in the context, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Let's not take up time with a discourse of that nature. This is KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. That's Abe Proctor. I'm Joe Uris. Number to call, 231-8187. I got a copy of a really great publication, The Hightower Lowdown.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jim Hightower.
Jim Hightower, very cool guy.
Texan,
yep. Indeed. He was once a commissioner of... I don't know, agriculture and oil or some such weird Texas
Commissioner
job.
Of Federations.
Commissioner of, yeah, and they got rid of him.
Probably. He's not a capitalist.
He wasn't the right kind of guy, so they got rid of him. And they got rid of the Democrats generally in Texas.
Yep.
And now they have...
and then Molly Ivins died. That was very sad.
Yeah, that was bad. That's sad. Okay, I just want to talk a little bit about this because, you know, it's disappeared from everybody's consciousness. Trans-Pacific Partnership, however, was largely, only for the time being, defeated by grassroots activity. And Hightower in his Lowdown talks about how local action all over the United States really created a serious question or set of questions about the intent of this. Just a little background for you. President Clinton... You know, he of the famous stained dress, President Clinton, mm-hmm. Who is a very charming fellow and well-spoken to boot and bright, essentially negotiated the NAFTA agreement.
Right. North American Free Trade Agreement,
which involved primarily Mexico, the United States, and Canada, and has, in fact, done a lot of damage.
Yeah.
For one thing, it has created a situation where corn farmers... in Mexico, cannot compete with American corn production, driving many, many Mexican workers out of their farms, off of their farms, and guess what? Into the north to survive.
Indeed.
So,
also, American trucking companies are unable to compete with cheaper Mexican counterparts. Exactly. We're now free to travel throughout the United States.
With not as much safety inspection.
Right.
Yeah. And the whole change, the idea of it being this kind of cross-border wealth creator, creates wealth, but not for ordinary people. In fact, what we've seen in the United States, not coincidentally, is a general lowering of wages for working people. And NAFTA is a significant force in that process. So now comes the latest plan, which is the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which, in the planning of the capitalist class, would be the first, and then there would be a second similar arrangement with Europe. Well, it was supposed to be a done deal. Everybody was very upset. There was a left-wing resistance. But it turns out that even old, weak, organized labor in America, together with a lot of grassroots people, have struggled to make people aware of this. Now, one of the people who doesn't seem to be aware of this is one of our senators. Can you guess which one?
One of our senators here in Oregon?
Yeah, here in Oregon.
Ron Wyden.
Yes, you win.
Hey, what do I win?
You win my congratulations.
Oh,
I don't know. And the praise of our, maybe some of our listeners, I don't know. Well, first of all, you have to understand that free trade agreements over the past 20 years have provided essentially the exporting of jobs from the United States to cheaper markets. And this agreement is particularly significant because countries like Vietnam, a former enemy, and various countries, Brunei, Malaysia, and so on, are not democracies. And they keep wages very low. So we will be, and are already, but will be even more so, contributing or combating or, competing, that's the word. We will be competing in the production of goods with countries where people make...
We're also not a democracy, and we also keep wages low. So that's, you know, we've got that.
I guess so, but our average wages are a lot higher than the 75 cents an hour you see.
Yeah, that is true.
All joking aside. Yeah. Or actually, in Vietnam, the typical wage is 59 cents an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, well, of course, on the other hand, other things are probably cheaper there, on the other hand. That's the argument.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little fallacious. And it sanctions. Here's the other thing about the TPP. Apart from the fact that it pulls jobs away and it's a race to the bottom, all of which, by the way, denies the concept of supply and demand. That is to say, if you really impoverish American workers, which has been going on for a little bit, if you do that effectively, you put people in a position where they can't buy stuff. Our whole economic system is built around unnecessary stuff, largely.
Right.
So if you do that, then your markets collapse. But because there are believed to be other markets in the world, until recently Russia, but certainly also until recently China, are supposed to take up, and India will take up the slack, you see.
Well, if you're looking for a situation that calls for the proper use of the term irony, I think you just summed it up. The practices now being engaged in on behalf of the 1% by the governments involved in TPP negotiations would essentially get rid of that piece of the economy upon which all the rest depends, that meaning the ability of people to buy stuff. So when you try to keep wages low and you try to farm out things like labor to other countries, if you try to obtain cheaper goods, raw materials from other countries, you undercut the ability of people like the American middle class to buy stuff, which, and like you suggested, the bottom falls out of the whole system when that happens.
And the second thing.
That's ironic.
No, that's ironic. Okay. You're right. That is irony, much more so than what I suggested was irony. Yeah, very good. Very good use.
Thank you.
Abe, you're just so right today. And number two, TTP. He actually has this provision in it. See, the reason why I can talk about this at all now is that thanks to kind of WikiLeaky kind of people, a lot of this stuff has gotten out.
Yes.
Even though it was kept secret. And this is important to understand. This trade agreement has been kept secret from the American people for a long, long time.
Yes.
So now we're beginning to see some of its consequences, one of which is the creation of these sidebar quasi-judicial bodies made up of people who represent businesses who will adjudicate any disputes amongst the parties in TPP. Not the governments of countries, not judges appointed by the courts of those countries, not the governments of countries.
So let's say in a hypothetical situation, the state of Oregon enacts an environmental regulation that has a detrimental effect on the ability of one of these corporations to make a profit here in Oregon.
Right.
So you're saying under the terms of the TPP,
yes,
that corporation could essentially file suit with a court that answers to no official governmental jurisdiction,
right,
that only represents the international trading community.
Yes.
And the decision of that court can overrule the regulation passed here in Oregon.
Yes, exactly. Amazingly, that's the case.
So that seems like the first step towards what conservatives fear more than anything, a world government.
Well, it would if the conservatives actually thought about stuff. I'm not convinced.
That is a problem.
I'm not convinced that the current world of conservatism is really rational at all. I think it's very strange. I mean, just in the show previous to this, Amy Goodman had a person talking about the connections between Donald Trump and various dictators in Southeast Asia.
Right.
So if you really analyze all of this stuff, Trump, for example, who some people would call crazy, others would call racist, whatever, Trump is, in fact, a kind of a spearhead of very reactionary stuff, but ironically, he actually opposes the TPP for reasons that have nothing to do with the things we just talked about. So, you know, he's a very odd fellow, but I don't want to talk. Let me be clear. I don't want to answer calls, deal with Donald Trump. We'll be facing him sometime in the future, probably, because that blowhard doesn't seem to blow hard enough to blow away.
if you followed me.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I really would like to hear from people who've thought about, know about, or want to know about the TPP. TPP essentially provides the authority and means for global corporate profiteers to attack directly our democratically elected laws and regulations.
You're quoting from Hightower there?
Yeah, this is, I'm quoting from Hightower. All this happens outside the U.S. court system, essentially an extra legal process, as you suggested, that will have more power over United States trade and labor law than anything made in the United States. We'll have to see whether the Supreme Court persons up, I have to be very careful in my language here, and ends up kind of blocking this. But so far, I don't get any sense out of those Clarence Thomas world that would happen.
Yeah, the irony just gets deeper and deeper here.
I
want to touch on something you mentioned in passing, and that were those were the latest revelations from WikiLeaks.
Yes.
This happened in late July. They have a direct bearing, interestingly enough, on the TPP negotiations. This round of revelations from WikiLeaks reveals, essentially, that the United States spied on Japan and on Brazil and on Germany. Those are the big nations that was our nefarious activity was revealed in regard to. I have some very convoluted syntax. Sorry about that. And that's bringing these negotiations not to a complete halt, but it's certainly throwing a wrench in things. Among those topics disclosed by WikiLeaks were the details of Japan's heretofore secret position on carbon reductions, which were apparently quite ambitious. That speaks well of Japan. But the United States saw fit to spy on those plans.
Right.
And Japan, quite understandably, is a little bit annoyed by this. And that has posed a problem to negotiating the TPP.
Well, right. I mean, it's really amazing. In fact, one of the things that's happened is a bunch of the nations who were originally signers on this, Peru and others, mm-hmm. have backed away in when they see exactly what the impacts would be for them. Even though there obviously are trade advantages.
Certainly.
So this is sort of dead in the water for now. Not dead. I would say in hibernation.
Are there degrees of dead?
There are. There are in trade right. agreements, yes. And in fact, and this is really what's interesting, because of the delays, I mean, the plan by Obama and others was to rush this through secretly, as secretly as possible, and then get everybody to agree in the world, and then do it, and then turn to Europe and do the similar thing to Europe. Mm. I say two, not with.
Two.
Yeah. And that got kind of blocked. Ironically, though, in 2016, I'm losing track of time here, in 2016, this whole thing rears its ugly head again. And so all of the election of 2016 could devolve around trade agreements if we're all on top of it. And the citizen groups, the wonderful communities that have fought this thing, are aware of that. So this may be a very entertaining and perhaps scary struggle.
One of the United States senators who's been the most outspoken against this deal happens to be running for president. His name's Bernie Sanders.
Oh, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Sanders. We can't advocate for any candidate.
No, we cannot.
No.
But we can say, especially, and this is especially relevant with Labor Day just passed, that Bernie Sanders is a stalwart champion of labor. And I think he realizes the detrimental effect that this agreement would have on the ability of U.S. wage earners, well, to earn wages.
Well, you know, it was the final gathering in Maui that was to tie this thing together. That was in July. Mm-hmm. And the demonstrations were pretty amazing. There was a Guinness World Record of conch shell blowers in protest. No, really. I think it was something like 50 conch shell blowers from Hawaii.
Well, that's something.
Well, it was something. You know, and I think it's very cool.
I'm trying really hard not to make puns, so just let that go.
You're wise.
I am.
In that respect.
Among other things,
yes.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership would give the chief executive of the United States fairly broad-reaching powers to, of his own accord, alter standing United States legislation and previously existing treaties and trade agreements.
Right.
For example, a future president could use the TPP to change regulations like the Dodd-Frank bill, which governs the way investment capital works in the country, and is largely intended to safeguard the assets of ordinary investors, people with middle-class people with retirement funds. Under the TPP, the president could amend that agreement by himself if it was deemed to be detrimental to the ability of foreign investors and big American investors to make more money.
It's a bad deal. It's really a bad deal. You know, it's really interesting when you look at these trade deals and you look at who's involved. When you look at Bill Clinton, who, you know, was a very popular guy, very popular president, still is a very popular guy. His wife's running for president. She's the leading, still, I guess, the leading Democrat against Bernie Sanders. And the fact of the matter is that what Clinton did in NAFTA and other policies was a giant giveaway to big business. Giant. And we saw, in fact, the impact on jobs in America. It was very negative.
We did. That's what Bill Clinton is still the exemplar of the Democratic Party's unfortunate rightward corporate-friendly drift in the post-Carter years.
Yeah, I guess we would call it neoliberal.
Yeah, you could. Quickly, before we go to the phones,
okay.
I want to run down a list of the other countries who are potential signatories to the TPP.
Yes.
And I want you to point out to me which notable country is missing from
okay.
that list.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a good challenge.
It is. In addition to the United States, we have Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, Vietnam.
Where's China?
Not on the list.
Why
ding, 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 you win.
Oh,
why? Man. Because one of the not stated intents of the TPP, but there nonetheless, is the desire to isolate China.
So it's a geopolitical World War III thing.
Yeah, it's sort of a new Cold War kind of arrangement.
Ah.
Yeah. Ah. Let's go to the phones.
All right, 231-8187.
Charlotte, good morning.
Yeah, I just want to mention a few other things besides what you've mentioned. Of course, these agreements are being done in secret. It's only through things like WikiLeaks that we're discovering what some of the agreements are. These are thousands of pages with only some leaked. They are primarily written by corporate lawyers and by the corporations for their interests. And not only does the system that they're setting up counter the interests of labor and of democratic countries that create laws, but those laws that are can be challenged are ones that are environmental and that have to do with all elements of people's control of their own, not only their own nation, their own state, their own city, but their own bodies. Because if the corporate profits are challenged by someone who says, I don't want this in my backyard because it'll make me sick, then they can actually say, hey, we lost profits because of that law, and either that law has to be changed or we have to be paid for those profits that we theoretically lost by that law that was protecting the health and environment of local communities.
Let me make sure I understand you correctly. You're saying that if a corporation believes that it has missed out on the opportunity to make more profit because of a law or a regulation, it can essentially sue and then be paid those profits that it might have made if that regulation weren't there.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what these above national state courts that are dominated by corporate lawyers decide. And I just wanted to put all those things in context. So we're talking about large picture things, but we're talking about the food we eat, what kind of food we're allowed to eat, what the rules are in relation to food. We're talking about our air. We're talking about our physical environment. Can a corporation come in and destroy our environment, destroy it physically or not? I mean, all of these things are related to this corporate system that is being created. It's not just a question of the labor, which is very important, and, you know, democratic laws. But I just wanted to throw this out so you start talking a little bit more about all the whole picture, because it's really, all those thousands of pages are about a lot of things, about a lot of corporate interests. So anyway, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. I think what she's saying is really true. I have probably emphasized the labor aspect of it at the cost of the larger impacts, the destruction of the environment that is very obvious in this. Inherently, this privileges even more than normal large capital, large investment capital, the banking community, and by the way, the supporters of this thing include the biggest banks, include the largest corporations, include Nike, include my favorite outfit, Macintosh, Apple. I mean, so this is a big scheme with grand plans. You know, people like conspiracy theories. Well, this is one for sure for the books. This really is that.
It makes you wonder how much is enough. I mean, Apple's has the largest market capitalization of any corporation in the world.
Yeah.
They're, by any measure, an enormous success.
Well, isn't that an Apple computer you're right in front
of you? Yes. Why the need to do this? Why the need to undermine the very set of conditions that led to Apple's success in the first place?
Because capitalism can never rest. It's an investment form, and in order to get constant investment and constant success, it needs to constantly expand.
It's going to eat us. And it's going to eat itself in the process.
I think so. But, you know, it'll probably be our children or our children's children that will face the ultimate costs of all this. So relax.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. 231-8187. I would like to hear from people. If you disagree with us on this, you're more than welcome to call in.
LJ, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Okay. Fine, thanks.
Good. How was your fake Labor Day?
You mean the replacement for May Day?
Yeah.
Oh, it was like many of my days. There was not a lot of work done.
I
labored in my backyard.
Did you eat a hot dog and drink a beer?
I did not do either of those. I got stung by a yellow jacket.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but that wasn't that was earlier in the week. But you know, the thing is, the yellow jackets are the triumphant species.
Yes, they are.
Anyway, sorry, that was an aside of no relevance whatsoever.
And the Yellow Jackets as well happens to be a great jazz combo.
That's it.
Anyway, can we get to the point?
Please.
Did you want to discuss what it would do to the generic drug market and what windfall profits the big pharma would make as a result of the TPP?
Well, I think a brief discussion thereof would be most appropriate.
Right. Apparently, what the TPP will do is extend the patent date for your drugs, which would devastate the generic drug market.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of us seniors who are on generic drugs, using myself as an example, you know, thank God I don't have to take a lot of them. But that would jack up the prices of these generic drugs, that almost unaffordable, which is what's going on right now.
Yeah, I think that's really an important point. I think as we look at this a deal, essentially it is a classic shift of wealth and power from the hands of governments to the hands of huge private corporations.
Okay,
it might be the last stage of capitalism.
Yeah, did you want to talk about Goldman Sachs's?
Sure, talk about Goldman Sachs. They're such wonderful people.
Yeah, they are great. They are great. They're gonna certainly be able to line their pockets. I mean, heck, look at what they did for Greece.
Really?
Yeah, really. Okay. So any which way, if you folks want to get involved, there's a group here in Portland called the Alliance for Democracy, website www.afdpdx.org, phone number 503-232-5495.
I can think of nothing more worthwhile.
Get up off your duff and roll up your sleeves and then get
Well, would you repeat the email address and repeat the phone number?
You got it, Joe. www.asdpdx.org 503-232-5495.
And that's the Alliance for Democracy.
Alliance for Democracy. David Delk's group.
AFDPDX.org.
Right.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, no. Thank you. Thank you for the dialogue. And great job, you guys. Thanks again.
Hey, all right.
Keep on keeping on, Joe.
Well, I wonder if there's somebody out there who really thinks this is a great deal.
I'd be interested to hear from them.
I would. I would privilege such a call. CEOs, our producer Steve says, CEOs do not listen to KBOO.
I'd say that's probably true. LJ mentioned pharmaceuticals.
Yes.
Right. Well, negotiations on the TPP have bogged down in general, largely because the member nations each have their particular niches that they're fighting very hard to protect.
Right.
One of those that the other signatories don't like is the United States' dedication to preserving the privileged position of its pharmaceutical industry.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It wants similar patent protections to be in effect abroad that are here in the United States. And for those of you not familiar with this, the patent period on drugs in the United States is much longer than it is elsewhere in the world, meaning that a company that develops a drug can continue to produce it at an enormous profit here and hold it over the heads of people who really need these medications for a much longer period of time in the United States than pharmaceuticals can elsewhere in the world.
Shocking.
Yeah, shocking.
Getting in the way of profit.
Getting in the way of profit.
And endangering the health of the poor.
Endangering the health of the poor. And again, ironically, and the irony's piling up now, undercutting one of the principles of capitalism, which is competition.
No, see, that's a myth, the competition.
No, it's not.
Capitalism drives toward monopoly. Always.
Capitalism does drive towards monopoly, but one of its founding principles is that competition to produce products at a lower price is good. It's fundamentally good.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah, you understand that. But another irony, once capitalism gets big enough and established enough, it starts to protect the winners and screen out the losers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's hear from you. 231-8187. We're talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Larry, you're on the air.
Hey, Joe and Abe. Just one thing. It's really not a court. My understanding from Lori Wallach, it's just a three-man or a woman panel of corporate attorneys who make the decision in favor of whoever, and it's totally secret, no public documents, no nothing. The decision is made, and that's it. But the other thing is, the real irony is, right here in Oregon, the only reason why the recent passing of the thing really got passed was because our favorite Ron Wyden supports it, along with Blumenhauer and Bonamici. And it's really ironic that Blumenhauer supports it. And I think it's just preposterous that the Democratic Party people in Oregon are supporting this thing. And basically, those people represent the Democratic Party in Oregon. It just shows you the corruption of the party system. So
I think it does, and I think it's an important point. And I think we all, one of the minimal things people who are concerned should do is call their congresspersons, ask their staff directly, what is your position on TPP, even if you know it, and put them on the defensive. Because in fact, any vote for this thing, and I heard Ron Wyden blathering on Channel 8, I believe it was, about this, is either built on ignorance or on the willful intent to strengthen the corporations at the cost of working people.
The one thing I found in the town halls with Wyden and Bonamici, I haven't been to Blumenhauer, they will not address the sovereignty issue, these little tribunals. They will not even, it's like, oh, that would never happen. But that's a key point, and they will not even touch that one.
That's
everything
right.
else is, oh, it's jobs and, you know, more goods for exporters and all this sort of thing. But they won't touch the sovereignty thing.
Well, is there, I'm not asking you alone, but everyone out there, is there a positive for ordinary people in passing the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
Well, look what happened right after Wyden supported it and they got it passed.
Yeah.
The local TV news was inundated with local businesses claiming how great the TPP is, local wine, Sokol Blosser, these guys posing as, you know, working for Sokol Blosser or whatever winery, saying how great it is for jobs and great it is for mine, and they would show a local beer guy. It's all like, we're going to be able to export all our products, and I think that was the cover that the industry gave to Wyden for supporting it and Bonamici and everybody else. Because we were every night on a half-hour news clip, there were probably two or three advertisements supporting it and saying how good it is for the little guy.
That's interesting. Mm. That's interesting. Thank you very much
all
for
right,
the call.
Yeah, good show.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate the information. The fact of the matter is there is a lot of grassroots opposition to this, and it has had effect. I mean, the 2010 Occupy Hanford movement, Hartford, Connecticut movement, for example, got all fired up and messed up the support for it in Connecticut. There's lots and lots of street, lots and lots of people that are actually fighting this thing. And I think it's possible to win this fight at this point. For one thing, these other nations are balking at some of the rules we and the dominant capitalist institutions are pushing. Also, I think people must be more aware of what happened with NAFTA than they used to be. And we also should be aware, just in this context, of how the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton's administration, essentially gutted protections that kept banks under control, separating banks that are investment banks from ordinary finance.
Yeah, the dissolution of the Glass-Steagall Act began under Bill Clinton. It's
really
good that we remember that.
And you know, this, the fact that these guys are liberals in some dimension doesn't change the fact that actually their real politic is the politic of the most wealthy and the most powerful institutions in the society. And this is the ultimate sellout, I think, of the Democratic Party. Anyway.
Yeah.
231-8187, we're talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. If there's somebody out there who wants to defend it, that would be a good thing, too. George, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Joe and Abe. This is fascinating. I just have a question for you. With these proposed trade agreements and the real ones, you know, showing up sort of like every fairly often, like Dracula arising out of his coffin by night to go forth and only, in this case, night and day to stalk all of us. Do you think that the argument we hear when we say we need something new often to people, they say, well, we're going to have regulated capitalism. It'll work. It'll be friendly. Do you think that this is going to really sink the argument for, you know, once and for all, or is it going to keep coming back to haunt us?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. The fundamental reality in the United States is that we've been effectively propagandized as a people by big money of various sorts. The tobacco industry, for example, for years was able to persuade people that tobacco was harmless.
Mm-hmm.
Against overwhelming evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that did finally fold to some degree. Now that tobacco is simply sold in Asia and Africa and elsewhere. They still can make it here. They build it here. They ship it overseas, and the people over there get to be poisoned by it. The fact of the matter is that it's really hard to stop monopoly capital. Years ago, I gave a little impromptu lecture at what was then the Red School, and I said, and I don't think people appreciated it a great deal, that capitalism delivers the goods. Well, it does, but there's a price to the delivering of goods, and the price is very high. And very serious, the price to the environment, the price to individual liberties, the price to individual health, all are really endangered when money and money power is put ahead of the interest of the world and the people of the world.
Well, then it sounds like you're putting a real good sharp edge to the argument that no matter how many ways the people in Congress or in the politics and everywhere say, tell us that, well, we have some real good regulations in place protecting our health and our, you know, our jobs and everything, this is baloney. I mean, and I'll hang up and listen because your discussion is really interesting.
Well, I think, first of all, there's no
point in going to despair? The fact of the matter is that more and more people are getting aware of this stuff. God bless WikiLeaks. There's a lot of people, who are aware of what's going on. The old Occupy movement is not dead. It turns out it has morphed into other kinds of organizations all over the country. And in fact, there's a lot of movements going on right now that are underplayed or underdiscussed or misinterpreted, including the Black Lives Matter movement, by the way. All of these really matter in the long term at the grassroots level. And the question is, can grassroots politics, can the struggle of ordinary people, well organized, including organized labor, can it counter and effectively stop this trend and perhaps turn things around? And I think the question is not moot. It's really very relevant, and we haven't got an answer to it yet. One of the most important things for people to do is not give up and engage in struggle, because you never know. You can't tell where the tipping point is. Certainly the corporate media will never tell you where things are going, you know.
I agree with you 100%. We have to keep struggling. We don't know what will be the final result, but we don't want to give up. So I'll hang up. This is terrific. Keep going.
Thank you very much for the call.
Oh, you bet. Thank you.
Okay. Again, I would love to hear from somebody who wants to defend TPP.
Oh, yeah, I would too. I also want to let people know that this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program. This is KBOO 90.7 FM. If you'd like to take part in this conversation, 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Or if you'd rather leave a message in writing, you can do that at our Facebook page, facebook.com/Abe and Joe.
You did that so well.
Well, thanks. There's also links to some of the articles that provide a background to today's conversation.
Yeah, can we link
on
this
the Facebook
one,
page?
Actually?
Yeah, if I can find it online, I'll put it up there.
Okay. It's the Hightower Lowdown.
Hightower Lowdown. Got it.
And it's the volume 12, number 8.
I will see what I can do.
August 2015.
Let's go to the phones. Harvey, good morning.
Hi. Well, since yesterday was Labor Day, I thought I'd talk about the fact that America is working at an economic disadvantage. And the disadvantage is that we don't have single payer. It turns out that
most
of the industrialized nations have single payer. And one instance of it is General Motors. I read this years back. General Motors built plants up in Canada because they could actually save $1,500 per car. It cost them $1,500 less per car to build it because Canadian workers had the single-payer health care program.
Hmm.
And so it literally is a disadvantage to America to not have single-payer. And I believe that with this Labor Day, I think this is a good time to call for single-payer and make us competitive with the rest of the industrialized nations.
All right, here's this hypothetical situation for you, Harvey. Imagine the Trans-Pacific Partnership passed. And let's say that some state in the United States, let's say Oregon, enacts a single-payer health care system. The American for-profit insurance industry would then be able to challenge that single-payer health care system in an extrajudicial tribunal made up of corporate lawyers and theoretically strike it down because it would undercut their ability to make a profit at the expense of your health. How about that?
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. It would do that on the environmental level, on the medical level, on just about every level, that that corporations could claim that they're losing profit, and therefore they have the right to take the profit where they see fit, irregardless of anybody's sovereignty in any way. And it would really level, you know, as far as TTP, it would really level the workers' position, because once again, we'd be put up against the cheapest labor,
right?
And waiting, and of course, you know, no one looks any further than that, but I do. Waiting at the bottom of the well when they've taken everything away, waiting for us are the 3D printers, the robots, and the artificial intelligence. So we really have to initiate much better programs, including single payer, and I'd like to see a guaranteed income for people who. The systems that we live in, they're vampiric, and they, you know, if you miss a step, it could drag you down in no time. So these people should be supported, and actually that would help reduce our need to spend on crime and incarceration.
Absolutely. I think your points are very well taken. I really appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. You know, what we do with this TPP discussion is to open up the whole mythology of the American corporate state. And that is good.
That is good. You're absolutely correct.
You have a thing in your hand.
I have a thing in my hand. It says, coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 Alternative Radio, professor and author Idris Ahmad, apologies for pronunciation, speaks on ISIS, Syria, and journalism. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints is off today. Instead, we'll hear Law and Disorder featuring analyst Phyllis Bennis from the Institute for Policy Studies on the Iran nuclear deal in the context of a broader geopolitical front. At 11 at Stage and Studio, and at 11:30, on Art Focus, host Andre Middleton interviews Brian W. Parker, illustrator and writer of fantasy fiction and a believer in creative education. All this and more coming up today on KBOO, your community-supported radio station. And now's a really good time to become a member. Do you know why?
Why?
Because our fall membership drive is going to begin soon. Ooh. And for every $15,000 that we earn between now and the start of the drive, we'll take one whole day off of that drive.
So less hassle.
You can pay it forward by becoming a member right now.
You know, I'll add something really. You do not, we do not, unfortunately, have a lot of liberal or, most significantly, left-wing analysis and history and information, news in this city, in this state, in this region. KBOO is the only broadcast medium that is consistently rich with information about what's really going on and the kind of music, many kinds of music, that are so important. So we're not going to spend a gazillion hours like OPB begging for money and showing and playing old music from the 1950s. We don't do that. But we do have to ask for money, and the quicker you give and the stronger you give, the more important it is for us to be able to do what we do. Monsanto apparently is suing counties that try to ban GMOs. Monsanto.
Nice.
TPP would, of course, help them so that they can succeed in this kind of effort.
Huh.
And that's just one example. We all know Monsanto. They're the ones who are destroying farming in the third world and who are actually damaging crops here.
Yeah, they're actually taking away
Roundup.
Right.
Roundup ready.
And through the patenting, the genomic patenting of seeds, mm-hmm. are taking away the oldest founding principle of agriculture, which is the ability of a farmer to take seeds from one year's harvest, save them, and plant them again the next year.
Exactly.
Monsanto's making seeds that don't work like that. Is making seeds that you have to buy from them again and again every year.
Right.
This is so bad. It's hard to even put it into words.
Well, and it's all hand in glove with the TPP and eventually its European compatriot. We all need in the United States to be able to fight and struggle for the right. This is weird because it is has an element of reaction to it, but we need to fight for national sovereignty, ironically. And we need to really have an analysis that displays the ultimate late-stage capitalist adventures.
You keep saying late-stage capitalism. It's just getting warmed up, Joe. Oh, yeah.
Don't say that.
It's true.
Okay, 231-8187. We're talking about TPP, and who is it?
Harry, good morning.
Good morning. Greetings, and thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
Do you think the TPP is just an extension of the WTO? They seem to have the same goals of controlling corporate control over government and trade.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable analysis. I think it's a far more complex scheme and one that has greater permanence and resonance with the powerful. But yes, basically it's the same kind of thinking.
Yeah, I was listening to James on the Hightower Report on the David Pakman show, mm-hmm. and he mentioned that what the WTO did was, remember dolphin safe tuna?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It used to be on the tuna cans.
Right.
It was removed because Mexican tuna fishermen complained to the WTO about this practice, and WTO decided, yeah, it's going to affect them, so now dolphin-safe tuna is removed, the labels are removed from the tuna can.
So what happens to the dolphins we don't get to know?
No, they are, I assume they're made into cat food.
Well, I think I don't know what you do with a dead dolphin. Sorry.
I don't either.
That's a bad joke, but you know.
Yeah.
It is really true that one of the things, one of the enormous impacts of all of this kind of capitalism first legislation, international and international agreements, is the destruction of the environment. There may well be a significant overriding principle in all of this, that capitalism, while it delivers the goods, as we say, at the same time destroys the world. Seriously. So it's something to think about.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program on KBOO-FM. Who's next? Phil, good morning.
Good morning. I want to advocate for color voting, that we have signage on our cars, on our homes, even in our clothing, that expresses our progressive point of view. And TPP is the cause that can unite us. We should see that this is something that the Sanders campaign should use us as their ticket to victory.
That's an interesting idea.
So we need everyone with this view to be at a mall or wherever with a table with signs that say no TPP, just simply that.
Right.
And to have a book like Common Sense from Thomas Paine to go with it, because I can't explain what, you know, when, and most people don't know what TPP is.
Well, and that's no accident.
It's really important that they have a means. I know, but it's really important that they have a means of finding a really believable explanation. And I think once this comes out, you know, a book like Common Sense that gets handed out through competition, a number of people would offer different abbreviated summaries of this issue. That then, I think, would be what convinces someone with the knowledge to turn over the facts to WikiLeaks.
Well,
I think that...
Yeah, no, I think it's a good idea. I think it's one of many ideas that are important in this case. The real fight is, as you suggest, always going to be at the grassroots level, and when people speak up, when they display their views visually, when people are angry and challenge, rationally challenge the senators and congresspeople, particularly your local ones, that's very healthy and very important. And it really is, unfortunately, because there's no counterparty in the liberal context to the Democratic Party, and particularly in Oregon, the situation is such that it's very hard to threaten a loss of a job to a congressperson who's making a decision that can really adversely affect the state or the people.
Well, I think Wyden and Blumenauer have both bought their retirements. I don't see how they have a future.
Well, I can't comment on that, but I appreciate your observation.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for the call.
Bye.
Huh.
You know, really.
Do you recall a few months back the decision by a WTO tribunal on country of origin labeling for meat? Do you recall this?
I do not.
Congress, not too long ago, passed a very sensible law that says meat products, when you purchase them, must display where they came from. So if you're buying beef from Australia, for example, the package has to say that. A WTO tribunal overruled that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Said that no longer does country of origin have to appear on a meat product that you buy.
So Chinese adulterated foods, which are a known fact of the past, can come to the United States without the label of made in China.
That's correct.
Really?
Yes. Not that the United States-made meat products are particularly safe, but nevertheless, this is a perfect example of an extrajudicial international trade body overriding sensible public interest legislation in the name of profit.
It kind of creeps you out, doesn't it?
It really creeps me out. Yeah.
I mean, especially if you have children or grandchildren or you yourself need a healthy diet, this is a real threat to that.
Yeah.
Especially since those products can be sold under the costs of those made in the U.S. because labor and the growing of these things and the care of them is so much cheaper outside the U.S.
Yes, this is true.
In many cases. The exception to that would be Europe, where actually food is more pure than here, by and large.
Let's go back to the phones. Joe, good morning. Joe, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Hey, I have a recommendation for both you guys and every KBOO listener out there, is to go back into the KBOO archives and listen to yesterday morning version of the folk show, Monday through Friday, in case folks don't know, from 5:30 till 7 a.m. is a folk music show.
Yes, there is.
And they all have names. And the one on Monday mornings is called Folk Espresso. And he did all of his songs were all related to what you guys have been talking about and then some. And there was one song in there, the guy was pretty humorous about it. I don't remember his name, but he talks about he's a socialist. And they were going all the way back to Teddy Roosevelt, who wanted to get universal health care. He's a socialist. And then they were talking about they went all the way up through Nixon and Reagan and stuff. And when your house catches on fire, you know, you got that socialist fire department coming in. But anyway, it's definitely worthwhile listening to, because every last single song on there told a story or explained something that most people are not aware of. And I talk to people all the time at the local store, the post office, or whatever, and nobody knows about the TPP. They don't have a clue. Of course, most of these people are just pizza eating, beer swilling, typical stupid fat Americanos.
Well, I don't think that's fair. I think the fact is that the TPP has deliberately been kept secret from the American people. Thanks to WikiLeaks, a lot of the material is out, not all of it.
I'm one of the dumbest guys I know, and even I know about it.
Well, first of all, I appreciate your modesty. The fact of the matter is, I don't think you qualify for the dumbest guy.
Well, I'm one of the dumbest guys I know, and most of the American public are the typical sleeple that aren't paying attention to anything other than Dancing with the Stars and golf or football on television.
Well, do not despair. There is organizing going on. This is something that can be won. I really believe that, and I think the fight is worth fighting.
But that yesterday morning's episode of the Folk Espresso was just a literal goldmine of political songs and labor songs that really told a story better than... they told it musically. A lot of them were humorous. And they told it really well, so I highly recommend everybody to go into the KBOO archives and download yesterday's Folk Espresso, the Labor Day Folk Espresso.
Well, I really appreciate that, and in fact, if Steve ever feels like doing that, I think we might pull up songs that occasionally we can use. So thanks very much.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you for all your effort you guys do. Take care. Okay. I'll let you roll. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I have a quick correction from something we said earlier.
Uh-oh.
We talked about the website for the Alliance for Democracy.
Yes.
The correct website is afd-pdx.org. We incorrectly earlier said afd-pdx.
Yeah, you got to have that hyphen. Or
afd-pdx.
That's a typical, that's the kind of error I always make.
Yeah, all the time. You're always making that error.
I'm a really computer illiterate kind of person. Listen, this is an important struggle. This is something that is possibly winnable, really possibly winnable, because other nations are concerned. People all over at the grassroots levels are beginning to wake up to the dangers of destroying national power in the interest of monopoly capital, which is all this is.
Yep.
Really.
Irony.
Oh, the irony of it all.
Because they're still going to tell you to buy American.
Oh, yeah.
You realize that.
Oh, yeah. They always trot out the patriotic card, no matter how absurd.
Right. That's true.
And sometime in the future, if he survives the insanity that's going on in the Republican Party, we can talk about the role of Trump in all of this. Oh, and God. He does have a role. Okay, 231-8187. You got time for a call?
Norm, got to make it fast.
Yeah, okay. This is the answer to the riddle of what do you do with a dead dolphin? Answer, eat the flippers.
Oh,
I'll take my answer off the air.
There's no answer to that. Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Don't have anything to come back with.
I just don't know how to respond to that. Okay, here's the deal. We have spent this hour talking about the TPP, which is something that has disappeared from the consciousness of a lot of people because there was a serious defeat of the original plan in Maui
largely because of grassroots activity, not just in this country, but in many other countries. And this is a moment in the history of capitalism where, if this is successful, if this happens, it is a real serious blow to national sovereignty, to unionization, to the freedom of workers all over the world, and to the health and the environmental health of the planet. So this is really, really important. And you, all of you within listening, need to get on board to struggle against the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, you can say it again. Okay, thanks all. You keep listening. You give the station money so we can keep broadcasting. And you remember that this is the station with the best in music programming in the region.
All right, we'll talk to you again next week.
It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
Cable Community Radio is proud to present Arresting Power, Resisting Police Violence in Portland, Oregon, as part of the Cable at the Clinton monthly film series. Arresting Power documents the history of conflict between the Portland police and community members throughout the past 50 years and creates a space for understanding the impacts of police violence and imagining a world without police. Again, that's Arresting Power, Thursday, September 10th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hey, you! We got your one! We're at the gates! We're at your door!
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Eco Plumber, providing sustainable plumbing services to Portland and the metro area, including remodels, repipes, and repair, as well as green projects such as rainwater or graywater harvesting, and alternative materials such as 100% VOC-free green pipe. Information at 503-342-8244 or eco-plumber.com.
Good morning. You're listening to